Scripture readings today is Acts from Acts chapter 10, verses 9 through 16. About the noon next day, as they were on their journey and approaching the city, Peter went up on the roof to pray. He became hungry and wanted something to eat, and while it was being prepared, he fell into a trance. He saw the heaven opened and something like a large sheet coming down, being lowered to the ground by its four corners. In it were all kinds of four-footed creatures and reptiles and birds of the air. Then he heard a voice saying, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat." But Peter said, "By no means, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is profane or unclean." The voice said to him again, a second time, "What God has made clean, you must not call profane." This happened three times, and the thing was suddenly taken up to heaven. This is the word of the Lord.
Let us pray together. Merciful God, thank you for your love, for your grace that we just sang about. Thank you for your word that we just listened to. My prayer is that you will speak to all of us this morning, God, that your spirit will remove the things that might stand in our way, things that maybe we don't want to hear or things we hear but don't want to apply to our lives. We pray that your spirit will truly move us through your message and change all of us for the better. And we pray this in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. So I'm busy with a series called Both And. And what we're doing is we are exploring how faith in Christ calls us away from an either-or experience of the world and into the wonderful truth of both and. And what I said last time was that most of us find clear-cutting categories helpful, right? Somehow they make life easier to understand. When it's either black or it's white, or if you're either red or blue, it's either or. But the thing is, real people don't fit neatly into those kinds of boxes. Because as human beings, we're full of tensions, we're full of paradoxes. And if we can manage to embrace those tensions and paradoxes, I think it can bring immense depth and beauty to life. And so in the previous message, I talked about the head and the heart. And I pointed out that it's not either the head or the heart when it comes to our faith. It's both the head and the heart. Because having faith is not just about believing the right things or just feeling a certain way. Faith in Jesus brings together both the head and the heart, both understanding and experience. So it's not either or, it's both and. Now sometimes we divide up the world into sacred and secular. And that's the focus for today. Because there are places where we expect and we accept God's showing up, right? Maybe like church on a Sunday morning. And there are places where we don't necessarily expect God to show up. Maybe in school or at the workplace or on the tennis court or whatever. But here's the thing. God reaches into all areas of life. And he leads us to live with compassion and grace, no matter the time or the place. But let me give you an example. These are lyrics from a song, okay? It goes like this. When you try your best, but you don't succeed. When you get what you want, but not what you need. When you feel so tired, but you can't sleep, stuck in reverse. And the tears come streaming down your face when you lose something you can't replace. When you love someone, but it goes to waste, could it be worse? Lights will guide you home and ignite your bones, and I will try to fix you. Could those be, you know, Jesus' words to you when you are heartbroken? When you're going through a terrible time and you need someone to help you and maybe someone to fix you? I would think yes, right? And yet they were written by a secular artist. It's a song by Coldplay. And it happens to be one of my favorite bands. But what I'm saying is, are these words either sacred or are they secular? Or are they both secular and sacred? It's a secular song, but the words are still able to convey the holy and the sacred. So think about it. What is sacred? Why do we note things being sacred? Why is it important? Does it represent our values well? Or is it maybe harmful? Is it dividing people? And what is secular? I mean, does secular mean evil? For instance, do you think there are ways that people can experience God outside of the church, for instance? Because you see, God's grace goes in all directions. And that is true, but at the same time, we also still need to be discerning. For instance, in John 17, Jesus talks to God about his disciples and says, "Father, I don't ask you to take my followers out of the world, but keep them safe from the evil one. They don't belong to this world, and neither do I." There are times when the distinction between sacred and secular is helpful, even healthy. Jesus also said, "I'm sending you like lambs into a pack of wolves, and so be as wise as snakes and be as innocent as doves." So we should be discerning and not swallowed up by worldly things. And we can all think of, I think, examples where the sacred and the secular should be separate, right? But there are also examples of when they come together and speak truth to one another. And there are examples where they live together so that God's love and grace is more visible in both. But let me talk to you about this passage from Acts, because it's fascinating. And I want us to listen to what God is saying beyond the lines that we often draw, okay? Because what happens here in this passage is part of a larger story in which God moves beyond the human distinctions of sacred and secular, beyond what we would consider to be holy and profane. He goes beyond our distinctions to bring salvation and create community far and wide. Now, we didn't read the whole chapter, so I need to give you just a little bit more context here. There's this guy with the name of Cornelius. He's a Gentile, okay? So he's not Jewish, he's a Gentile. Was very religious, was captain of a group of soldiers in the Italian unit. He worshiped God. He prayed to God. And one day God gives him a vision and tells him to send some men to Joppa to go find a man by the name of Peter, who, of course, was one of Jesus' original disciples. So in Joppa, we just read that Peter went up on the roof to pray, and he was hungry, and then God gave him the vision of the animals that he had to kill and eat. And as he was still thinking about the vision, the guys Cornelius sent showed up at his house and told him that they want Peter to come with them to meet Cornelius. Peter invited them to stay over the night, and the next day they went to Cornelius. Now, this was very unusual, okay? Because Jews were not allowed to have anything to do with Gentiles. And when Peter got to Cornelius, Cornelius told Peter about the vision that God gave him, wanting him to reach out to Peter. And then in his interaction with Cornelius, the vision God gave Peter came into focus for him. And he starts to understand that God treats all people alike, and that God is pleased with everyone who worships him and everyone who does right. Not only the Jews, but all people. And so let me go a little deeper, and here's the first point I want to make. God is outside our boxes. God is not defined by the boxes we often put him in, okay? In this passage, Peter is hungry. He's on the roof to pray. It says he was hungry and wanted to eat, but while the food was being prepared, he had a vision. So hungry Peter receives a vision from God, and he saw heaven open, and something came down like a huge sheet held up by its four corners, and in it were all kinds of animals, reptiles, and birds. And a voice said to him, "Peter, get up, kill these and eat them." Peter says, "No way, God, no way." Says, "Lord, I can't do that. I've never eaten anything that's unclean and not fit to eat." So you see, there was this Jewish tradition called kashrut. It was a body of Jewish dietary laws that prevented them from eating certain animals. A list of animals that were considered to be unclean and unfit and improper. And that's where the word kosher comes from. Pork, birds of prey, shellfish, rodents, reptiles, amphibians were all considered non-kosher. He says, "God, I've never, ever in my life eaten that. I'm not going to eat that." He says, "I've never eaten food that is unholy or unclean." Because some of these animals, in the vision God gave him, are considered profane, unclean, in his religious tradition. But God is moving beyond the confines and constraints of what Peter understands, okay? The human Peter. Because God has the power to make even these foods clean. And the voice said to him, "God has made these things clean, so don't call them unholy." So when God says that something can be used for food, don't say it isn't fit to eat, okay? If God says it's okay, then it is okay. But let me ask you, what are the things that you consider unclean, profane, off limits? Maybe you've learned they're off limits from our culture, or even in the church. Where do we say, "God, you can't possibly be asking me to go there," right? "You can't possibly ask me to go do that. You can't possibly be seeking me or speaking to me in this way." Because Peter's vision and its consequences remind us that we cannot understand, okay? We cannot limit the mind of God. We cannot put God in a little box of our own making, because God is everywhere, both in what we call sacred and secular. Now listen, I don't want to denigrate or disparage Jewish dietary laws or other customs. That's not the point here, okay? They are also given by God, and Peter was seeking to be faithful to his religion. So we can respect others' traditions. We can respect our own traditions. But at the same time, we can be open to God's challenging them. And the message from this passage is we need to listen to God, even if it brushes up against our own understandings of what is holy and what is profane according to our understanding. Here's the second point I want to make. The kingdom is open to all. God's kingdom is open to all. What happens after Peter receives this vision? First, he receives permission to eat certain foods. When he objected, God said, "What I have made clean, you must not call profane." But then something else happens when Peter gets to Cornelius and he enters his house. And he says, "You know that we Jews are not allowed to have anything to do with other people. But God has shown me that he doesn't think anyone is unclean or unfit." So God's Spirit leads him to recognize that he, Peter, cannot call Gentiles or anyone else for that matter profane or unclean. Why? Because God shows no partiality. And so Peter says in verse 34, "Now I'm certain that God treats all people alike. God is pleased with everyone who worships him and does right, no matter what nation they come from." And he says, this is the same message that God gave the people of Israel when he sent Jesus Christ, the Lord of all, to offer peace to them. You know, there's a lot of dehumanization going on in politics and in our country today. And it's driven by extreme partisan polarization and by playing the fear card. So we're encouraged to perceive our political rivals as less than human. We're told we should fear those who are different from us. We have these silos we live in, and there are now people who are considered to be rage entrepreneurs, people on the fringe, okay, and the extremes on both sides are getting all the attention. Algorithms amplify radical and eye-catching content on social media, and it leads to radicalization and the creation of echo chambers where people primarily encounter validating information. So the way they see others and think about them are reinforced all the time. And as we saw, it can lead to deadly political violence, as we have recently seen in Minnesota and in Utah. So I want to challenge you to think about who you consider to be beyond the limits of God's kingdom, or at least beyond the limits of you, who you should or would associate with. And you know, maybe you and where you come from have felt or actually been treated as unclean. Maybe someone has given you the message that, you know what, you are beyond God's reach, okay? I want you to know today, and I can't say it any clearer than this, God's kingdom is open to all. And God has always been breaking down the cultural norms and stereotypes to show that his kingdom is open to all. The ground at the foot of the cross is even, my friend. It's even. And the good news of Jesus challenges us to be more inclusive, not less. God is outside of our boxes. God's kingdom is open to all. And so one more point, and I'll be brief. Seek God in sacred and secular. We need to seek God in the sacred and in the secular. I mean, as people of faith, right? We're sometimes willing to be welcoming and inclusive to people who are different from us, right? Right? At least we should be, right? But often we still expect that God works only, or he works primarily, in the church or in religious spaces. So we say, you know, we'll accept anyone, anyone who walks through the door. We'll accept anyone. But first, you have to walk through the door. The story of Peter and Cornelius shows that God is already working in people's lives where they are. Okay? Peter does not wait for Cornelius, the Gentile, to come to him. No, he accepts the invitation of the messengers to actually go to Cornelius. And something the Jewish people simply did not do in those days. And he shares with them the good news of Jesus. And it is there, okay, in Cornelius' house, and not in the comfort of Peter's community or Peter's religious space, that the Holy Spirit took control of everyone who was listening. I mean, what if we can trust and expect that God is already working in people and in places outside of the church? Even among those with whom you and I might not normally associate. What would it look like and be like to seek where God is already working, to cultivate wonder instead of judgment, to examine our own unknowns? What if we are willing to read or to learn and engage with all people and break out of our own restrictive silos? We are, after all, the community church of Douglas. We are called to interact with the community on a deeper level and learn from our community and learn from our culture. And of course, the goal is, but not always, to bring people in. It's also about being part of what God is doing, wherever God is doing. So it's not either sacred or secular. It's both sacred and secular. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you that it challenges us, that it makes us think, that it causes us to ask ourselves, Where are we on this? May your Spirit open our hearts and our minds to not confine you to whatever we think the little box is. Because you are God and we're not. May you enable us to be willing to engage with other people, to be the church in a community and not just here in our sanctuary. May you enable us, God, indeed, to understand that your kingdom is open to all. There's no prejudice on your part. May we love people the same way your son Jesus did and accept them. And may you continue to work in our lives and in our country so that all people are included in who you are and who you want us to be. And we pray this in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen.